8:30 right now, 55 KRCD Talk Station. A very, very happy Thursday to you. Boy, man, Vince Everdahl is impressive, and a lot of people seem to think so. I got a whole bunch of text messages and email about him. Yeah, get a copy of that book, and what an amazing, amazing independent thinking man. Without further ado, though, this is the time of week, Thursdays at 8:30, when we get to hear from Jay Ratliff, iHeartMedia's aviation expert on all things interesting in the field of aviation. Jay, welcome back, my friend. I hope you're well.
Very well. Good morning.
Good morning. And how can it, as I saw this first topic, I'm thinking the federal government wants to force everybody to pay $15 minimum wage. That'll almost buy you an airline ticket, apparently, for this new airline.
There's one starting exactly the case in California, Velo.
What's it called?
It's a Velo or Velo.
Okay, V-E-L-O?
Yeah, V-E-L-O. They only have, three airplanes, two cities, so... They're going to have to forgive me if I'm not yet quite up to speed on everything.
Okay. Don't sweat it. I mispronounce people's names all the time, but I always give them a pass. Thing. I'm pronouncing some foreign country living individual dictator's name, and I'm botching it, and I'm thinking, all right, I don't care. You know what? Because somewhere in the world, someone's mispronouncing my name, and it won't bother me a whit. So
yeah, they put C's, D's, and E's in my name all the time.
There you
go. And that's fine. But, yeah, I mean, this upstart airline – got quite a bit of attention yesterday. $19 fares, and
where they fly to?
They go out of Birmingham, I think, to Santa Rosa, out of Burbank, in California. They have plans to expand their route map quite a bit. They originally, I think, were going to base their operation out of Wilmington, Delaware, but because of the pandemic and a bunch of other things, they have gone to the other coast, and that was surprising to me given a lot of the regulatory headaches that they have out there.
But
$19 fares is what they're starting at. Not every seat, of course, on the airplane. It's a 737-400 series is a $19 fee. Those fares are introductory. They go up. They're only going to sell so many of those. But, Brian, the idea of somebody starting an airline now, it's always romantic, starting an airline, blah, 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 but what happens is a lot like what happened when AirTran came in here as a low-cost carrier in February of 1995. They went nonstop to Orlando. They had $39 fares, $29 fares, and they were very well received. The problem is Delta Airlines, having the hub they did, matched those fares, and people said, do I fly Delta, get my freaking flyer miles at $29, or do I fly maybe a very good airline that I've never heard of before? Of course, people went with Delta. Very few people flew the AirTran when they came in and brought with them very low airfares. They were here a couple of years, couldn't afford to continue, and left. And, of course, that's when people started screaming, why did they leave? We need them. Well, if you don't support low-cost carriers, they're not going to stick around. They're going to go elsewhere where they can make money. And that's what we saw when Frontier brought their one flight a day out of Dayton that they had for 7 years down to Cincinnati a number of years ago, 5 or 6, I think it was. A lot of people said, oh, my gosh, Cincinnati, you'd never want to take a low-cost carrier there. Look at the history. But, again, the community responded and did so in such a fashion, they actually started to expand their operation here. Here comes Allegiant. Here comes Southwest. Here comes Sun Country. And, it's now a magnet for low-cost carriers. And as a result, we have the 80th cheapest domestic fares out of Cincinnati on the list of the top 100 for the DOT for the fourth quarter last year, and it's because of those low-cost carriers.
Well, and it's also proving that a market can bear multiple low-cost carriers.
It is.
The way they work, though, I know, like, for example, Frontier or whatever, they fly to Florida, right? And so I've been on Frontier because I've gone down to Fort Myers and to visit my mom and dad in Naples. But they have limited routes. They're not flying out to the West Coast, as far as I know. Do the carriers kind of like look at a market and say, okay, we're a low-cost carrier. We're going to break into the market. There are already 3 or 4 low-cost carriers, but we'll be the ones that are flying to these different cities. Is that how it ends up getting allocated or broken up, Jay? Or are they just all in competition for the same folks?
Well, they are. And what they'll look at is to see exactly how many low-cost carriers are there, what markets they have, and those types of things, and kind of go from there. But, when you were talking about Frontier, Frontier goes coast to coast.
Oh, okay.
They got flights everywhere.
Oh, okay.
What's nice is when a low-cost carrier comes in like a Frontier and they start seeing success, and then an Allegiant comes in very reluctantly because they never before flew into large cities before, it was always the small general aviation airports where they could pass the savings on to the customer. So the people at CVG, and I'd love to drop their names, but they've threatened me if I do, they convinced Allegiant to give Cincinnati a try. And they said, okay, we will. And it was just lights out. They could not believe the response of this community from Columbus to Dayton, Indianapolis, Louisville, Lexington. Everybody was driving to Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And remember the heydays when this was a mega hub. We have more people boarding flights locally here now than we did at any time in the history of the airport.
Well, because there was no competition, and Delta was charging the hell out of all of us.
It was their number one most profitable hub in the route because of what they were charging. Comair with their business airline charging business fares. It was a great combination for making a lot of money, but unfortunately we had the highest domestic airfares in the country, and as a result, passengers in the area got absolutely slaughtered when it came to an average airfare. Now we're number 80 on that list.
It's amazing.
And the more low-cost carriers we come in, of course, we have Alaska Airlines getting ready to come in with their service. We have United and American increasing some of their cities. We have American Airlines giving us nonstop flights back to Boston, I believe, this fall in November.
Yeah.
So we've got a lot of good news there. And the more seats we have, especially those of the low-cost carrier variety, Brian, those fares continue to drop, and as a result, you know, the airlines right now, it's cheaper to fly when you factor in inflation than at any other time in the history of commercial aviation.
Wow.
And that's just, I mean, look, when you go, you mentioned Sarasota, round trip, $86 out of Cincinnati, that's just nuts.
That make you want to go to Sarasota. Jay Ratliff, don't go away. Southwest has some information. He's got a story about Southwest anyway. And, of course, we'll get a hub lay update from Jay Ratliff, iHeartMedia aviation expert. Right after I mention Your Wellness Center, go to yourwellnesscenter.com. Coming up on 842 at 55 KRCD Talk Station, a very happy Thursday to you. Always look forward to Fridays here. Tech Friday with Dave Howdy. You can't miss that segment at 6:30. And remember, if you can't listen live, just go to the podcast page or my blog page, like, for example, my conversation yesterday with Judge Anna Napolitano about the Second Amendment and the Supreme Court taking up a case, which I think will result in a much more secure Second Amendment rights for you and me. In the meantime, every Thursday we get to hear from Jay Ratliff for a couple of segments, iHeartMedia aviation expert. And so we got $19 fares with the new airline, Southwest. Talking about a discount airline, what's going on with Southwest?
Well, they have a flight attendant that's suing them for $3 million over the death of her husband. And the story involves the flight attendant going to a one-day mandatory training, which was required by Southwest. No problem there.
Right.
She goes, and she notices during the training, there's not really the separation. There's not the sanitization. There's not a lot of the things that are being done for passengers. They weren't being done for the employees. Made her uncomfortable, but she goes to the training. She comes back. She unfortunately catches the coronavirus. She unfortunately transmits it to her husband, who then dies. And she is suing Southwest for $3 million. She says, I love Southwest, but they didn't love me back, is what she's saying, because they simply didn't take it seriously enough.
Well,
and again, all this in her words. And the thing she's really stressing is that the airline does not have any sort of contact tracing. In other words, the airline industry does not piece the dots together, if you will, by collecting information on everyone. And then if there is an outbreak, they can backtrack it to where it happened and then notify any affected people that there's a possibility that they may have been exposed. And, Brian, this goes back, if you will, 6 years ago. The CDC came to the airline industry saying, we would like you to have contact tracing, which means if there's ever a pandemic that breaks out, we would like you to have at least the contact information, you know, the address, email, phone numbers for everyone who flies. Many times, all of that information is not obtained. The airline industry many years ago said, we can't do it. It's too expensive. We won't. And they told the CDC no. And it last year, the airlines were contacted when the pandemic started happening, again by the CDC, with them pleading with the airlines to have contact tracing so that if this thing that's in Asia starts to spread in the United States, we have a way to track it. And they said no again. And it's something that the airlines have always resisted. And unfortunately, in this situation, it may or may not have helped this particular situation. But you have a Southwest employee who's suing her employer for $3 million.
Well, and, you know, I'm thinking of my law school days, and there's a Paul's Craft versus Long Island, which is one I think is involved. Fireworks that blew up in one area of the rail station. It caused this sort of chain reaction, which ultimately resulted in somebody getting killed or severely injured. The fireworks didn't proximately cause it, but it started the chain reaction. I guess I come down to, well, how does she know that that was the meeting where she got COVID, as opposed to picking it up at the grocery store or through any other of her her employment or her antics elsewhere? I mean, you got a really difficult burden of proof there.
Absolutely.
To show that that's the place she got it, as opposed to any place else.
And that's the position of Southwest Airlines.
Of course it is.
Look, we are very sorry for what took place, but there's no way for definitive proof that it originated here, other than some other people had it, but again, they could have picked it up from other places, so they'll have a very difficult time connecting the dots. But it does kind of underscore to me how many times the airline industry, when they're constantly talking about trying to protect, that sometimes that protection isn't
it's lip service.
Provided as much to the employees. Now, I'm not saying they're putting people at risk, but I am saying that there's more that can be done. And unfortunately, many times that's just not the case. They were shuttling people around in vehicles. I mean, you were side by side. People were in front of each other. I mean, they were, you know, transporting as though there was no pandemic going on at the time. And it was some of those safety precautions, according to the flight attendant, that weren't being taken.
Right.
And which is what has caused this to kind of progress. But, of course, we're in a day and age now where airlines are like any other business in corporate America. They're constantly trying to promote how much they care, how much they're trying to do this, do that. In fact, you have Alaska Airlines this week announced, Brian, that they're repainting three of their airplanes to help promote diversity, because they don't want to be left out of the diversity conversation. So if they can slap 1,000 pounds of paint on an aircraft to try to communicate a message of more diversity, they're certainly going to do it.
And we'll pay the price for it in terms of fuel consumption.
And a bunch of other things. You're absolutely right about that.
Jay, how about hub delays? You always end on hub delays, and given the inclement weather we got going on here, I doubt it would affect flights locally, but what do I know?
Well, actually, we have a line from Dallas to Houston all the way to Detroit that's moving east. Some very serious thunderstorms that are going to impact a lot of different hubs, especially towards the northeast later in the day. And if you're flying even to the west coast, especially, there's going to be quite a bit of turbulence. So if you're flying, it's not dangerous, but certainly uncomfortable. Keep your seatbelt fastened about you throughout the course of the flight. Too many people take it off, Brian, and we hit turbulence. Oh. They kiss the ceiling.
Yeah.
And then, of course, it's the airline's fault, because you never know when you're going to hit turbulence. You have to be very careful.
Hey, they always tell you to keep your seatbelt on when you're not up and about in the cabin. I mean, come on, that's
Well, they do it in the flight deck, so if the pilots do it, so it's certainly good news in the back. Yeah. And we have about 50 people a year that are seriously injured when we encounter turbulence, and all they have to do is, even if you just barely have it on you, where it's even,
right,
a lot of slack,
it'll keep you from hitting the ceiling, right? I've seen that happen to people. We hit turbulence, they fly right out of their seat and smash their head on the roof.
Well, the NTSB wants seatbelts in the bathroom so that when you're in there, you can secure yourself, but I don't know that that's necessarily a good idea.
Yeah, I'm just thinking of all kinds of things that might happen in there. Yeah, I know. Jay Ratliff, appreciate it as always, giving us the information. It's always an enjoyable conversation. Until our conversation next Thursday at 8:30, I wish you the best of health, my friend.
You too as well. Thank you.
Thanks. 8:48 right now, 55 Care CD Talk Station. Time for me to mention the ultimate note.